You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
We're back. It's been a while. We missed last week.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. But we had a valid, very valid reason why we missed last week.
Yes, and that was Big Crit.
The Big Crit concert at the Howard Theater Tuesday night, September 18th. Was off the chain. If you didn't attend, you missed a great concert.
Oh, Crit can perform like no other. Anytime he comes into the DMV, I'm in there like swimwear. I just couldn't believe how they put it down.
Yeah, man, it was a very live concert, very entertaining. Some of the opening acts, because people really didn't know who they were, people didn't give them a lot of energy. I knew who some of the opening acts were, so I was bobbing, I was vibing with them on the music. But when Crit came up, he got all the way turned up, man. It was great.
When Will was mentioning some of those people, I was included. I was not vibing the opening acts. Once I saw Slim Thug, though, it was on a popping for me. Once Slim Thug set it down, and I knew Crit was next, I knew it was about. I knew it was over. But anyways, the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. I didn't formally introduce myself. I'm Wally.
I'm Will.
And we, like I said, we are a part of a lethal group called the Urban Sports Scene. We don't have Ray with us today, but hopefully we'll have Ray with us next week. But yeah, like Will said, Big Crit, hands down, probably for me the most impressive new. I guess you can call him a newbie in the rap game.
Absolutely. One of the up and coming superstars. Only thing is, Def Jam Recordings, you need to get behind him and believe and really push this dude, because he is the truth.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think they push him hard enough, to be totally honest, which I'm surprised that some people still don't know Crit.
Don't worry, we're going to spread the word, though. Yeah, that's what we're going to use this show for.
You know, I used to, the intro. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's
right. Crit. You know what I mean? Like, we respect talented artists. But anyway, like I said, we're the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. Make sure you check us out at www.eyesradio.com. That is the official Eyes Radio website. And such shows on there are Run TMC with Tom Block and MC Hater, which airs Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, Clutch Sports Radio, which airs on Thursdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also BT Sports Radio, which airs Tuesday nights 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Airs now.
Yeah, they're now.
Okay.
Like, you know, this is our slot, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's all good.
It's our slot. It's our tape slot. You get it?
It's all good, though.
Yeah, it's all love, though. And also, check out our homies, Crawley and Watts Radio Podcast Show at www.crawleyandwatts.com. Cool Cats, I want to be on their show eventually. I actually listened to their show last week. Hilarious dudes, man. They were live. Hilarious dudes. I told them before that I was going to try to be on their show once, and I'm going to try to do it one more time. I'm going to try to do it.
As long as you keep trying, man.
Yeah, no.
Keep trying.
Yeah, like, I'm going to try to write a blog. Oh, real talk. I want
to write
a blog.
I
did. My goal was to write a blog.
Oh, that's what's up,
it
man.
It was going
to
be about Alfred Morris, how he shouldn't start, but then I'm going to change that, because I'm starting to like the way he's playing. So I think I might start to criticize Mike Shanahan a little bit, talking about how he's choked under pressure. This is not a given, but I'm just saying, like, this is the direction
I'm going to. Man, you know, we had a plan to put out blogs daily, but, you know, you see how that's worked out. So, you know, take your time.
A plan, I know. I need to compromise with a real plan. I need to write a to-do list. Anyway, also, we have our show syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Applegees. Make sure you check us out by visiting www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. I don't need to say this part. Will, you know the deal.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Yes. The Nats clinched a spot. Ray called me last week. Well, I think over the weekend, was pissed off that they are writing out T-shirts, Nats make the playoffs. Like, there's something to be proud about. They just made the playoffs. They should be aiming for something more. But they made the playoffs.
This is from a sports perspective,
yeah.
This town is yearning for a winner. Redskins haven't won anything. Wizards haven't won anything. The Capitals choke routinely in the playoffs. So people are just happy to see the Nets go above and beyond and exceed
expectations. But we have playoff teams, though. We've had playoff teams here. So what makes this so special?
This is the first time there's been a playoff team since 1933 for a baseball team, first of all.
There you go.
This is the best team in Major League Baseball, record-wise.
Is it still is? The Reds, they be out there.
The Reds
are battling.
Yeah, but they still, as of this morning, they had the best record in the majors. And there's a real, it seems like this team might be a team of destiny this year to actually reach the World Series, win the pennant, reach the World Series. So you never know.
Team of destiny, I don't want to say all that, but this team is talented. Big Strauss isn't there. Like I said, making the playoffs is not even actually the playoffs. Is they clinched the wild card round. That's what they get. They clinched the wild card.
They have five more games until they
win five games, they clinch the
division.
Yeah. So until I feel like let's be happy when they clinch the NL East. It's going to happen. I agree. That's going to happen. But let's be happy when they clinch that. When you clinch the wild card round. If they choke, they're in the wild card round, and you don't want to be in the wild card game, especially the Nats. So let's be happy if they clinch the NL East.
Yeah,
not the
wild
magic
card. Number is five. Like I said earlier, five for the NL East.
That's true, five for the NL East. How big is this for the city?
Huge
for the city. It's huge.
This is huge.
You think? All right. Do you think it surpasses? Say, do you think they surpass the Wizards and the Capitals in terms of popularity in the DMV?
Caps, no.
Ooh, so you think the Nats? You think the Caps are bigger than the Nats?
Yeah, I think the Caps. Just because they've been able to sustain a string of winning years, playoff appearances.
So you think
more
even
loyal, though they choke.
But you think they're more loyal Caps. So you think this area respects? I'm speaking of fans. You think the fans respect?
Absolutely.
The Capitals more than they respect.
Absolutely.
The Nats?
Okay. You look. Go to the Verizon Center and go to a Caps game, home game. Then go see a Nats weekday home game. And you'll see the difference in the attendance.
So you agree that they surpassed the Wizards?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think they surpassed the Wizards.
I mean,
I actually think they're like the number two. I actually think the number two team in the area.
Yeah, I mean, well.
I think they surpassed the
Caps.
I
can't go number two. And I think Maryland football is the number two in the area.
Number two? Maryland football?
Mm-hmm.
The Hoyas are better than Maryland football.
No, I think Maryland football. Well, yeah, Hoyas. Too.
Okay, are we? Okay, I guess I messed up then. I guess I should include college teams too.
Yeah,
then.
I mean,
yeah, you know what? Then they're not number two.
Yeah,
because the Terps basketball team is bigger than the Terps football.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah, Terps. Yeah, excuse me. That's what I meant to say. Terps basketball is definitely bigger. I would go Georgetown 2, Terps basketball 3.
You think, and if we stick
Caps
would be four for you.
Four for me.
Uh-huh.
Nets
would be five.
Five.
And Wizards is six.
Wizards would be six. But I will say this about this town. This is a basketball town. So if the Wizards ever were to win,
yeah,
it'll be electric.
If the Wizards win, this is a football town first.
No, I think this is a front runner town first and all.
No, this is a football town. This is Redskin country. You can't really argue that. This is Redskin country. But I do agree with you. The Wizards, we saw it. With the Wizards, when Gilbert Arenas came, not even before Gilbert Arenas, with Chris Webber and Juwan Howard.
Absolutely.
When they got it done, we saw the excitement here initially, and it was probably like definitely second to the Redskins, but it was big though. It was big.
It was big when they win.
Yeah, when they win. Oh, but any town's a front running town when you're used to losing. Let's be real. This area has been losing for a while though.
Yeah, stay losing. Stay taking L's.
Shut up, man. According to Nats manager Davey Johnson, if the Nats clinch the NL East, he'll bench the rest of his. He'll bench the regulars and give him some rest. You agree with that strategy, especially down the stretch when you need to be sharp?
Okay. No, I don't agree with that. But I can say this: I won't question any strategy that Davey Johnson has because he's shown that he's one up on the opposition at all times, pretty much this year. He knows his team better than anyone else. So I don't personally like it, but if Davey Johnson goes with it, I won't question it.
Well, Davey Johnson used to coach the Baltimore Orioles. We went wire to wire, but we still had to compete because we had the Yankees breathing down our necks. Yeah, Davey Johnson, for my experience with Davey Johnson, I've never seen him do it. But like I said, I haven't seen him in a big lead like this. But he's had big teams before. So, like you said, if Davey Johnson says, he's going to rest his players in the stretch, you got to just go with it. He's had success with the Mets. We had Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden. And he had success with the Reds back in the day when they won the World Series, when they had I think Eric Davis was on that squad, and I think Hatcher was on that squad. So he's had success with players, teams like that of that sort. And I mentioned the Orioles, and now he's doing with the Nets. So I'm not going to argue with Davey Johnson, but I will say this: it's a dangerous game resting players let's say about five games, resting most of your roster, but five games left in the season, because they might be a little rusty, and you need to be a productive hitter. You do need at bats with live pitching. So that's the only thing I would say. But I don't think it's a big deal. I think you keep your players as healthy as possible. Let's go to what'd you say, down? You say down or up 295? What'd you say?
Up 295.
Up 295. I know how you like to roll. The Baltimore Orioles, right now holding number one spot with the wild card race, but also trailing the Yankees by a game and a half. They called up their main prospect Dylan Bundy. How would you use him down the stretch? Would you have him start, or would you just let him, you know, be in the bullpen? How would you use him, Will T?
I'd probably have him in the bullpen down the stretch. There's a different mentality being a starter in the playoffs, like to close out the season being in the playoffs, than there is coming out of the bullpen. In the bullpen, he knows that he may consistently be relied on come up with good quality innings, whereas in the playoffs, a lot of pressure. So,
like for me, I think the bullpen is the ideal spot for him. I wouldn't want to put him in pressured situations right now, since he just, pretty much has been called up within the last 14 some odd games, and he pitched in Fenway, and he did pretty good. But I wouldn't start him. He has an electric arm, but I would use him like the Rays used David Price when they called him up. Make him a reliever, see how he warms up with that situation, and if he's lights out, then give him an increased role within the bullpen. But I wouldn't make him a starter. I wouldn't put that much pressure on the kid. I think that can set him up, if they're using the bullpen correctly, that can set him up for success next season as a starter. Let's go to my man Will's sport, the sweet science.
Yes, the sweet science, boxing.
You knew it. You know it. Last week, we didn't have a show last week, but last week, Sergio Martinez had a big win versus Chavez Jr. You saw the fight. Your thoughts first.
Sergio Martinez dominated him, as I said he would. Only thing that didn't happen was he didn't knock him out. He actually got knocked down in the 12th round.
And almost knocked out.
And almost knocked out, but he tried to put his foot on the gas and be a soldier and solidify the win, which I can't be mad at. You can't be mad at him, but it wasn't necessarily the smartest move, considering that anyone who saw the fight saw that Chavez Jr. clearly was at least 100, came into the ring at 185 pounds.
Yeah,
like, if you saw these two in the ring, there was a very – you saw the disparage between the size.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Martinez came in at, 162, something like that. But Chavez clearly was at least 185 pounds, going on 190 pounds. They're saying that he can still make middleweight. I don't see conceivably how he can stay at middleweight for much longer. He's draining himself, even though he came across a far superiorly skilled boxer in Sergio Martinez. But Chavez Jr., he's a guy with a name and a loyal following. So if he does stay at 160, or if he moves up to 168, he'll always bring a crowd. He'll always bring money to the table.
I saw the fight. I was just surprised how Chavez Jr. wasn't as aggressive. We all know that Sergio Martinez was more skilled, but I thought he would bring the fight to Sergio Martinez a little bit more, like he did in that last round.
He couldn't cut off the ring.
Oh, I know that. He was too slow. I mean, we all know it, like Sergio beat him to the spot. But when he did get his opportunity and it had him in the corner, I thought his punches weren't as controlled as I've seen him fight before. When he did have him in the corner, they weren't as controlled. Like I said in the fight, I thought if Chavez Jr. had the opportunity to touch Sergio Martinez's chin, that would happen. You know, I think Sergio Martinez, like you said, was smart enough to move around. If you looked at and obviously lied to a lot of people in his weigh-in, saying that he was going to attack him and go toe-to-toe with him. That didn't happen. But I knew if Chavez Jr. had the opportunity to touch him, he would hurt. He would damage him. And that's what he did in that 12th round.
Because he was like 20 pounds heavier than him.
It's just that Sergio Martinez has no chin. It's like he doesn't have a chin. Like, he gets, if you can get him, if you have power, you can knock him down. Like, he doesn't have a chin.
Grant,
he has a chin.
No, he doesn't have a chin.
He has a chin.
He doesn't have a chin, and that chin was about to be knocked off its wall if he just had one punch.
25 pounds heavier than him.
I'm telling you, Canelo Alvarez, please, Lord, a guy with skill and that type of punching power.
Canelo Alvarez is more of a body puncher.
Oh, so was Chavez Jr. He's a better body puncher. He's a good body puncher.
Yeah, he's a but. Like I said,
and he didn't. And don't get wrong. He went away from that too. At the same time, Chavez Jr. went away from being that decent body puncher we've seen throughout his career so far. And if he attacked the body, he could have tired Sergio Martinez out because Sergio Martinez did a lot of moving in that fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to give credit, very good lateral movement.
I
got credit for a 37-year-old dude. That man is in tip-top shape.
He's in great shape.
Seriously, like that's what I have to give him credit for. He's in tip-top shape. All right, we all hear, you know, heard the news coming. All right, secondly, do you want to see a rematch between the two?
Hell no.
Everybody's asking for it.
I don't know why. Why would everyone ask for it when Chavez only fought one good round? What people are assuming is, they're thinking that if we get a rematch, then it'll be round 13 instead of round 1 of the rematch. No, the same thing is going to happen.
I'm in that majority.
What?
I'm in that majority. Yeah. I think so. I think Chavez, I think what round, in my opinion, I could be wrong, what round 12 did for Chavez Jr. is that now he gives him confidence to know, okay, I can really touch this man. I don't know if he came in. To me, the way he fought within the first... Well, yeah, the first 11 rounds. Not the first 11. I think the round, actually, to be honest with you, I think round 11, he fought more aggressively. Round 10, 11, 12, he fought more aggressively for whatever reason it was.
Obviously, because Martinez was tiring down from all of the punches and the movement. Martinez was essentially tiring from beating his ass.
That's true. I ain't going to lie to you. But I think if Chavez Jr. sticks to the game plan of attacking the body and now he knows he could touch, I think he'll probably try to walk through some of Sergio Martinez's punches, because to me, truly, he didn't really hurt him, and he can do some damage. I think round twelve gave him confidence. Lack of a better term, or lack of a better frame or saying, he's given Chavez Jr. more confidence.
Chavez Jr. needs to fight a couple more fights, a couple more skilled boxers, and then maybe I'd be excited for a rematch. But at this point, no.
All right, my boy Chavez Jr. is on weed. All right, he's got caught with weed. Do you think that played a part? And do you think it's going to damage the chances for a rematch?
There won't be immediate rematch. I can tell you that. That's just not
happening. Well, I'm telling you, the rematch is going to happen, but just because due to the fact that Sergio Martinez damaged his knee all up. He had tore some ligaments in his knee.
Trust me, Sergio Martinez is fighting either Miguel Cotto or Canelo Alvarez next May 2013. Mark it down.
Rematch will be Chavez Jr. Mark that down.
All right, we'll see.
All right. After, you know, Sergio's done a lot of talking about fighting Floyd Mayweather Jr. After seeing what he did to Chavez Jr., do you think he can beat Floyd?
Hell no.
Thank you. That's all I just don't agree.
I don't, like, everyone's saying that he fights with his hands down. Floyd Mayweather has too much speed.
There we go.
For Sergio Martinez to fight with his hands down. And Floyd Mayweather's a technician. He'll pick him apart. Would it be entertaining for some rounds? Would it be entertaining for some GOAT? Possibly, yeah. But Floyd Mayweather will ultimately dominate the fight down the stretch.
You know when? Do you know why I'd be entertaining? If it would be entertaining, you know why I'd be entertaining?
Why?
Because Floyd would make it entertaining. Because Floyd would allow it to be entertaining. Because to be honest with you, you can be Roy Jones if you want to. And that's what I'm talking about, Sergio Martinez. You can try to be Roy Jones against non-boxers. People don't have the hand speed. You can do that. And see if it works. But now you're going with a technician. You have your hands down with a technician. All right? You're fast enough to move away and use your head movements for a Chavez Jr. who's not as quick as you, who's not quick. You know, he's a power puncher. But you're going with a technician who has hand speed like Floyd Jr. I was on the wrap-up show with West Coast Thriller fan and my man Joseph. They do the boxing thing. They do the boxing on Sundays.
Futureless Corner?
I don't call it that anymore.
Okay.
They do it on Sundays. Yeah. And, dude, like I told him, like Floyd would eat up Sergio Martinez. It wouldn't even be as close as you think it would be, because by him putting his face all in Floyd's face, dude, the hand speed's gonna expose a lot.
It will.
All right, I didn't see this fight. Maybe you did. When Canelo Alvarez beat
Jose Zito Lopez. Yeah, I watched that.
You watched the whole fight? Please tell me, because I didn't watch it. I just knew it was over already.
Alvarez came out and hammered him from the beginning. no, to be honest with you, he hammered him for the 5 rounds that the fight lasts. I will say this, though. I actually ended up watching the whole card of that Showtime. The Jose Zito Lopez, Canelo Alvarez, the whole entire card, the undercard included, was actually really good, very action packed. And then I ended up watching the main event, the Chavez and
of course.
So it was a great night of boxing for me.
All right, that's good. All right, let's piggyback on that. Do you think that's a good thing for boxing? I have two big fights. I guess you call it two main event fights. In different venues or different promotions, yeah, like HBO Showtime
on the same night.
Yeah, you think that's good for boxing?
No, not necessarily. I think it's good that Showtime has become a viable player in the boxing game again. They're able to attract big cards, major fighters. Excuse me, but having two cards competing on the same night, really, it takes away, because you have to understand boxing is still. It's popular, but it has a niche.
Of course.
So you want to get as much notoriety and much publicity as you can for those big fights. And, you know, you have to admit Sergio Martinez versus Chavez Jr. was a big fight.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of took away from it. But at the end of the day, I'm still glad that Showtime had on that card, because that undercard was way more entertaining than the Chavez Martinez undercard. That it was the worst.
Yeah, I heard about that. But anyway, almost about that time for a break. But Sunday, my Skins were in a battle with the Bengals and offensively took a hit. When we get back from commercial break,
more than a hit.
All right, man. KO. When we get a KO, you happy?
Thank you.
All right. When we get back from the break, we talk about that game and Kyle Shanahan. Man, what the hell are you doing? Urban Sports Thing
for ages
on Eyes Radio.
You dig?
Deuces.
You can hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the Where Did You Hear About Us link and enter Eyes Radio, EYES. RADIO to get automatically entered to win $100. That's right, I said it, $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code EYESRADIO when you're registered. That's EYESRADIO.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep it coming.
Hey, Skylar, when you get a chance, give me a call, baby. I miss you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Will. Skylar Diggins loves us. You know what she does, man.
Yes, she do, man.
Yeah, she remembers us, man. Need to have her back on the Apple G Show.
Dude.
Anyway, you can listen to us by visiting our official website. That's www.waleo.podbean.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. If you can't spell Podbean, it's spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stiller Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Stiller Fan. A good show. I was on there last week. We talked about boxing. We talked about Mayweather and Mayweather and Sergio and other good stuff, and football too. That Thursday night game, which sucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What Thursday? Who played last Thursday?
The Giants and the Panthers.
Yeah, that was a horrible game.
Yeah, man. Cam Newton didn't that show up in primetime. Yeah.
They blasting that kid.
You hear that? I still think he's going to be an incredible player in the NFL.
Oh, I do too. But you see how they're blasting him now?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the media does. They build you up to break you down.
I feel like they were waiting for him to fail, though. In a way, they've been waiting for him to fail.
I got a sense of that too, because he's very overly confident in himself and his ability. So
you kept overhearing the sophomore jinx, but you never heard that by Andy Dalton.
Yeah,
you noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, speaking of Andy Dalton, his Bengals beat my team. Andy Dalton looked spectacular. I won't lie to you. Him and AJ Green looked like the next Joe Montana and Jerry Rice combination. But why did the Skins lose this game? And they lost 38-31.
A number of reasons. One, they're the Redskins. Like, nah.
Come on now. Stop that. Be real.
Defensive backs. You have no
secondary.
Defense. Your secondary. The Redskins have no one in their secondary that can cover.
Yeah, they don't. I want to argue that. Go ahead.
For two, your front seven didn't get a lot of pressure. But
Kerrigan got pressure.
Ryan Kerrigan.
Yeah.
He's going to be a star.
Yeah, Ryan Kerrigan did well. I actually liked how Rob Jackson came in and played well.
I'm still going down my list, though.
I'm a bad dude. All right, go ahead.
Offensive line.
Tell me shut up next time.
No, I'm not telling you shut up. You just asked me, and I'm going down my list. Offensive line, no one blocked for Robin Griffin III. He was terrorized the whole afternoon. But one positive I will say about the Redskins, that triple option, it works. For now, it works, because now people have game film on it. But
you think it works?
It worked for that game.
It looked good.
It looked good. It worked for that game.
It's the dumbest play ever. This ain't college. You gonna get my man killed? Why are you? You gonna get my man killed?
And that's another bone I had to pick with the Redskins. This is another 12 times he carried the ball.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about the hits he took on top of that from being sacked and being knocked down from his passes. So Robert Griffin III, Bob, as I like to refer to him.
Robert Griffin III, because he deserves that name now. So
Bob.
Don't get it twitted.
He's taking a lot of hits these first three games.
Robert Griffin III.
Bob.
Robert Griffin III. I have, first and foremost, it's easy. It's a secondary. The defense is horrible. It is what it is. As a Redskins fan, we predicted, you know, as Skins fans out there, not you, Will, but I'm saying like me and many other Skins fans, we came into the season thinking, okay, like Robert Griffin III, RG3 would probably struggle a little bit. He would play well. We thought he would do well, but he would struggle a little bit, not do as well as he's doing now. We thought our defense would be middle of the pack. Didn't think it'd be 31st in the NFL bad.
Actually, the offense is the highest scoring offense
exactly.
in the NFL.
So if you had told Redskins fans that the Redskins would have the highest scoring offense in the NFL, they would probably say this team is going to exceed their expectations. The problem is this defense has let this kid down, and now it's putting a lot of pressure on this kid. Why do you blitz on 2nd and 20, on all out blitz on 2nd and 20?
Because you didn't learn last year when Dez Bryant beat you.
Yeah, so I don't get that. Why are you giving this defensive coordinator a one-year extension when he showed you that he has some flaws in his play-calling skills as a defensive coordinator? Why are you choking as a head coach? Why do you consistently show us that you choke in pressure? Let me give you an example. St. Louis Rams, instead of going fourth and 15, instead of going for it, you're doing a 62-yard field goal with a kicker who can't kick that long. Why do you do that? Secondly, in the game against the Cincinnati Bengals, why are you challenging a play? It's 4th and 1. You decide to punt, which I don't argue with, but why do you challenge a play that the risk is higher than the reward? You punt it, it hit the line. You only had one timeout left. Why challenge that unless you knew you were 100% correct? And from my vantage point, as just a dude watching on TV, and you do get that big jumbotron on the TV, and they'll put it on slow motion for you to see if it hit the line or not. It hit the line, and you challenged it. Again, why do you choke in big situations when your team needs you as a head coach? There's a lot of things that the Redskins higher-ups, when I mean the higher-ups, the coaching staff needs to put together, because, again, they are failing this kid.
That's a very strong and bold statement.
No, I'm saying, they're choking, and he's choking under pressure. Shanahan chokes under pressure. I'm going to say it, and I've said it before, and he's lucky that he drafted RG3. Mike Shanahan is the most overrated supposedly good coach in the NFL.
I mean, a lot of people will argue with you about that.
Why? What has he proven?
He's got two Super Bowls.
With who?
With John Elway.
We do this for John. We do this for John. Well, what has he done after? What has he done since John? Oh, his claim to fame is Terrell Davis. Hey, where's Alex Gibbs at? I like that line. Where's Alex Gibbs at?
I don't know.
Ask Alex Gibbs. That line does wonders for everybody. Arian Foster's done well. Even Slayton's done well in that line. There's a lot of running backs, even Ben Tate. There's a lot of running backs who do well with Alex Gibbs' system. Guy takes a lot of credit. Jake Plummer took the Arizona Cardinals to the playoffs. People forget that. But he made Jake Plummer. Wow.
He made him into a more efficient quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
That's what everyone says.
Oh, yeah. But
it's not what I say.
No, Jake Plummer was on a talentless Arizona Cardinals squad for many years, and he took that team to the postseason. Jake Plummer had talent. Sick of him taking a lot of credit for stuff that you know, other players have done. But yeah, the Redskins defense, it needs help. Like that's atrocious. They need help. The refs, you know, the refs took a shot. Have taken a shot throughout the whole NFL. But you saw what Kyle Shanahan did.
No, I didn't. I actually didn't watch the Redskins game.
Okay, let me break it down to you. Kyle Shanahan was two things he did wrong. We got a RG3 on a drive to try to tie the game up, which RG3 was almost looking like John Elway. Won't lie, the kid's special. He got down to the 20 yard line or 20 or t- yeah the 20 or f- the 15 or 20 yard line. Clocked it. Then eventually he got sacked. Right, he got sacked. Then Fred Davis.
The guy who represents himself in court.
Yeah, okay. Fred Davis.
That
he
guy.
He false starts. All right, so the referees think there's a runoff, right? They think it's supposed to be a runoff. But usually it was a dead ball because the ball was already, you know, pounded to the ground. So it was a dead ball. So you don't do a 10-second runoff. Anyway, Kyle Shanahan lost his cool and kirked out, and then he got a unsportsmanlike conduct.
By kirk out, you have to explain to people what kirk out means.
He curses at the referee.
Okay.
All right. Then he got he received an unsportsmanlike penalty, and we got 15 yards back. Anyway, he does more. Game's over. We lose a game. He runs down the locker room and chases down the referee. In the locker room, not outside, in the locker rooms, and curses out, and he curses them out. And be advised, the NFL already put a memo stating that no coach nor player should be belittling these referees in a verbally abusive way. And Kyle already has done that, so he may be suspended.
Well, yeah, most likely. I mean, to me, I know he released a statement today. But I think he needs to address the media just like...
Stop being a coward.
Yeah, just like last week, Josh Morgan, he made a mistake. He was man up. He manned up, and he addressed the media. Kyle Shanahan, your coach, not only a coach, but the offensive coordinator, you need to set an example, get in front of the media, man up, be accountable, be responsible for your actions.
Don't mention the name Josh Morgan to me. Please don't do that to me, man.
Oh, okay.
That name does not need to be mentioned on the show. I think we went over this a little bit, but yeah, do you think can RG3 continue to take these big hits?
Bob cannot continue to take.
Can RG3 continue to take these big hits?
Bobby cannot.
Can RG3 continue to take these big hits?
You asked me a question. And I'll give you my answer.
His name ain't Bob. His name is RG3. Call him Robert then.
Robert. Bobby cannot Robert. Continue to take big hits like
you
this.
You know what I'm saying? Oh my God.
It's very, but if he at this rate, week 10, when it starts to get cold outside and the turf freezes,
yeah,
he's going to be in big trouble if he continues to get hit like this at this rate.
Yeah, RG3, and you spoke with the option. You spoke about the option. When is enough enough?
I think now the Redskins have put it out there, so now teams have to prepare for it. You know, before it wasn't necessarily something you had to prepare for. If you were a defensive coordinator facing the Redskins the next week, but now you actually have to spend time on it, and that'll help the Redskins offense. You know, possibly from a schematic and a strategic point of view going into the next week. But we'll see.
Well, on Facebook, I asked the question: should the Redskins limit RG3's option plays? Well, I mean, the options. I pretty much mean like the Nebraska style option, like the triple option. My boy Rodney, with big ups Rod, he said hell yeah they need to stop. My man Thomas Curl said yes indeed. Alfred Morris is averaging 4.3 yards a carry and is ninth in rushing. And in the NFL, rushing in the NFL and 60 yards away from first in the NFL. Let him run the damn ball. If RG3 keeps taking those hits, he won't make it through the season. Yeah, I agree with you, man. RG3, we need to stop the option. He's a pocket quarterback. He's actually good in the pocket, and I feel like they just because he can run, you want to use these gimmick option plays to benefit I guess the staff or the offense. But I had somebody on Twitter. I'm gonna ask this question too anyway, and I'm gonna find his tweet, but. He said that, like, will you be doing the Redskins a big disservice by not having him run the option, because that's an advantage that they do have, especially with a poor defense?
I think you would at this point, because it's one of those things that teams haven't really found a way to defend yet. I think that the Redskins should limit how many times they run it, but – yeah, I think it's become a vital part of their offense over the first 3 weeks of the season.
Especially because of the defense? Would you say
that? I'm not going to say because of the defense. I'm just saying, like, from the point of them being able to move the ball, advance the ball, I think it's become such a big part of their offense that they should continue to run it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and here's it. It was from George Templeton, @Temp the Rat on Twitter. He says the problem is the option plays help the offense tremendously, makes RG3 and Alfred Morris harder to defend. It does. I think Alfred Morris can run without the option, but to be honest with you. Also,
my thing is, when is this kid going to get up under center and take some snaps?
Some real snaps?
Yeah.
When is Cam Newton taking a snap?
Cam Newton gets under center barely, and takes snaps.
Barely.
But he does.
Barely. I'm just being wrong. Barely. My man @NLBeastNats, he's a Nats fan, as you could tell, has not limit. Get rid of him. They should avoid him getting hit as much as possible. #franchise. Totally agree, man. He is the franchise player. But from what you saw, Will T, can the Redskins even beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next week? Because that's their next Sunday opponent.
This Sunday opponent. Yeah, because Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have shown some vulnerability in the back end on that defense. Eli Manning shredded them for almost 300 yards in the second half prior to this week. Tony Romo, even though Tony Romo took a lot of big hits this past Sunday against Tampa Bay Bucs.
Yeah, it's basically knocked out, I heard.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, I think the Redskins have an opportunity versus the Bucs. The Bucs, if the Bucs offensively show up and play the way they did last week, they absolutely have a chance, because the Redskins have the highest scoring offense in the NFL.
But you know what? I'm gonna give credit where credit's due. You know, I hate this team. The Cowboys actually do have a good defense. The Giants' defense a little bit overrated. So Tampa Bay was
that front four of the Giants is what holds them together.
Yeah, but that back end is okay. Other than Webster, their back end isn't that impressive. Yeah. So they do show you some capability of passing. And the Redskins haven't showed you anything about, you know, anything of stopping a mainstream wide receiver. Look at the pattern the Redskins have shown. Lance Moore had over 100 yards. I want to say like almost 130. You saw what Amendola did. He looked like the next T.O. And then you got A.J. Green, who's supreme talent. You already saw what he did. 9 catches for about 180 yards. So it's going upwards. It's not going down. It's going upwards.
Vincent Jackson is a problem.
He's a problem.
Yeah, he's 6'5".
It's a problem. Yeah. And you hear what a lot of people are saying out of, you know, like on the radio, and people call in these radio stations. They're saying like the secondary is so undersized. Is it physically they're not posing enough? Well, we're going to see a guy who can probably play guard in the NBA, a shooting guard in the NBA. So if you thought it was bad before, this can get much worse.
I mean, don't worry. The Redskins will have a top 15 pick, and they can get a.
We don't have first pick.
Oh, that's right. Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Don't worry about it though. But I still always believe in my Skins. I think they'll find a way to pull it out. I'm a firm believer in what we can do as a team. I think we're gonna beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think if we play a bend but don't break defense, we'd be better off than just being aggressive, to be totally honest with you. Our team is scoring, but we're scoring. It is what it is. We're scoring points. If you play a bend but don't break defense, you're better off than just giving up big plays. Because honestly, that's the big problem.
Your team is just that secondary is going to give up big plays.
But you're playing zero coverage. So you're going to give up big plays.
Even if you do play zone behind it, just miss tackles and foul-ups and coverage.
We'll have Brandon Merriweather back. Miscommunication. We'll have former Pro Bowler Brandon Merriweather back.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what's going to happen. But if they play a bend but don't break defense, I think they'll be better off, to be totally honest with you. But anyway, a lot about my Redskins. Let's talk about that time for commercial break, too, at the same time. But when we come back from break, we're going to talk about what everybody's talking about. And we briefly mentioned it with Kyle Shanahan, the referees. There's a lot going on right here. It's the replacement refs, they fouled up Monday night. Truth be told, I didn't even see the play. I fell asleep.
I didn't see it either.
All right, well, we'll still talk about it. Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
On Eyes Radio.
You dig?
We'll be back.
Time out! Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, them boys fake. Definitely. Referees aren't real. They're not professionals. But before we get into the refs, you can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Apple Juice Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Applejuice. Apple Juice is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, we love you out there, Vivian. Vivian's actually going to try to get us to do a live show. And we're using their Apple G's site, and we still do on Tuesday.
Oh, that'd be hot.
Yeah, so we have a live show. She's going to have to forward me some information on the switchboard because I don't know my Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's all good. Yeah, I'm always down for a live show.
Yeah, we know it. Anyway, I mentioned it. Let's just go right to the Monday night game because that's what everybody's talking about. Packers got screwed by the refs, supposedly. Your thoughts? You said you saw highlights or you saw replays. I haven't even seen a replay.
Yeah, I've seen replays of it. Technically, well, what happens is the cornerback for Jennings, the cornerback for the Green Bay Packers, he catches the ball.
Yeah.
He intercepts the ball. Yeah. But Golden Tate wraps his arms around the ball.
At the same time?
Yes.
Okay, so simultaneous.
So, yeah. Not simultaneous. Because Jennings goes, jumps up in the air, intercepts the ball.
Mm-hmm.
As he's coming down, Golden Tate wraps his arms around the ball.
So Jennings basically caught it. I thought he had to catch it at the same time. Then the rule isn't.
No, that's not the rule.
Okay, go ahead.
The rule is if they're simultaneously catch the ball and come to the ground in the end zone,
got you.
The ball is the offensive player's ball.
Got you.
So technically, the refs
got it right.
But Golden Tate did push off.
So the pass interference is legit.
So it should have been the pass interference. They should have called pass interference, offensive pass interference.
So do they really call offensive pass interference or Hail Mary?
This was blatant.
Oh, was that bad?
This was blatant. He didn't even try to hide it. Like, two-hand, you know how you... Like, have you ever seen somebody go behind somebody they're mad at and just shove them in the back?
Of course.
With two hands? Yeah. That's how I look.
Dirty. Dirty.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all right, what's the difference? The referees, the replacement referees fouled up. But what's the difference between this and, like, what Ed Hockley's fouled up with the Jay Cutler San Diego Chargers game?
Nothing. There's more publicity on the officiating
exactly.
Now. Two, this was Monday night, so it's the end, technically, of the football week.
Got you.
So people will be talking about this all the week until Thursday when Thursday night football comes on. And three, you know, a lot of people are just tired of the NFL, and they think they're tired of the owners trying to be cheap and Roger screw Goodell labor.
And Roger Goodell at the same time.
Yeah, well, Roger Goodell works for the owners.
Yeah, but he's still like I was listening to the this radio station in around here, 980, mm-hmm. in DC, and they had a valid point. You know, I feel like I'm stealing something from him, but they did have a valid point.
What's that?
They stated that Roselle and Tagliabue, worked for the owners, but they still kind of had their own stance. They still kind of negotiated with them to say, okay, though you may not want to do this, this is still better for the league. They pretty much called Roger Goodell I won't say whipping boy, but they called Roger Goodell a yes man. So he works for the owners. The reason why he is the commissioner is because the owners wanted a yes man, and that's who he is.
Well, they definitely got him.
Yeah. So I mean, they were saying like he won't fight for the cause because he's a yes man. Now do I agree with that? I don't know. I mean, I guess so. I can't stand Roger Goodell. He looks like, obviously, you know, I feel like he deserves some blame here. As a commissioner, you need to show some pull. You can't just if that was the case, if he was just a so-called, I mean, if he wasn't needed, if it was just the owners doing their thing, then why even have Roger Goodell as a commissioner? Why even have a commissioner? What are you doing? What are you here for?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's what you need to ask the owners and ask the NFL.
Yeah, sure. That's what I'm going to tweet Roger Goodell. You heard about, damn, who was it? A representative of Wisconsin.
Yeah, from Wisconsin. He tweeted out Roger Goodell's phone number. So
a couple players have, too, for the Green Bay,
so people can give him a call about the refs.
Folks are going in. What's your
Well, I just hope people are this passionate come the first Tuesday in November.
Well, I like that. I like that
point. I just hope people are this passionate.
Yeah, I like that.
Everyone's up in arms about the refs and officiating. Be this passionate the first Tuesday in November.
Exactly. And get to the polls. I agree with you, Will. Get to the polls. All right. We're still staying on the refs. What are your thoughts on how they performed in week three? Because I have a different opinion.
I don't think that the players and the coaches respect the referees.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily, you know, I can't. Of course they've blown some big calls. And because of all the scrutinies of the referees, it's far more obvious than if the regular refs blew a call.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have that big of a problem with the officiating. It's just about on par.
Yeah.
But obviously, I just think these referees aren't as experienced and aren't as respected.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's leading to a lot of physical play after the whistle. And it could potentially lead to someone hurt. Getting hurt.
Yeah, I'm on the side of you. I don't have a problem with these referees. To be totally honest with you, I think I stated this before on our last show, is that what I like about these refs is they allow a lot. And that's like old school football to me. When we grew up watching, there are some things like some hits that the other referees would call as late and these refs let go. Now, there are some inconsistencies with pass interference. I agree with that. I'm not going to act like, there isn't any
inconsistency. Yeah, there's some huge inconsistencies with pass interference. Yeah.
And my main thing is that, because I think they call that too easily, and I think they don't know how to call offensive pass interference. I don't think they know how to. And secondly, the lack of control they have in games. Those are my two big things. Like you said, the players and coaches don't respect them. Now, let me go to the coaches, though. Players are going to push the envelope, too. But let me go to coaches. I'm having a big issue with the lack of respect these coaches have for these referees. Now, granted, you feel like you can get over it. But be advised, these are men, too. All right? These are men, too. Show that same person respect that you want. We've grown up that way. We've grown up to a point to believe, like, your folks have told you, treat the next man how you want to be treated, right?
Right.
Well, I think some of these coaches go over the line. John Harbaugh is one. Bill Belichick putting his hands on the referee is one. Kyle Shanahan going out, running off the field to curse you out is another thing. Show these dudes proper respect. You know these dudes are terrified. Let's just be real. Let's call it spade a spade. You know these dudes are terrified. They don't want to mess up. All right? They don't want to mess up. And I think, like, you got coaches. You have even you have announcers, you have analysts who set the tone for these refs to get it bad. I watched the Ravens and what's the name? Ravens versus the Patriots game. Collins, like, it was a key play. Collinsworth was stated, like, it was a they called offensive, they called a legal contact. Past 5 yards of legal contact, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was it Anquan? I'm sorry, it was what's the name intercepted the ball? Number 21 for the Ravens.
Devin McCourty?
No, for the Ravens. He intercepted the ball.
Webb.
All right, Webb. Webb got called for illegal contact. He grabbed the dude. He grabbed him. He grabbed him past 5 yards. He grabbed him. Then he picked the ball off. That is, in essence, that is a penalty. That's a 5 yard. It's contact. Collinsworth said, "Well, that's holding. That's not contact. These referees are doing a bad job." Did he put his hands on him? Yes. That's contact. You can call it any which way you want to, grabbing or whatever, but it's still contact. You're adding on to the whole hype that these referees are bad by saying, "Oh, how can he call this?" I have an issue with like all these little factors within the coaches and even the announcers and the analysts. I think they're doing a horrible job. I think they're setting the environment in a negative tone for like fans and everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, because the announcers are the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
They hear what's going on these talk shows and radios, and they hear the fans. So, you know, of course, you know, they're throwing some gasoline onto the fire and making this thing somewhat bigger than what it really is. You know, although granted, they have blown a lot of calls, but like I said, a lot of people, I like everyone else, want the regular referees to come back.
We all do.
But I don't see it as that huge of a deal at this point. It'll be a huge deal when something happens to when the referees affect the outcome of a major team, like a owner who has a lot of power in the NFL,
okay,
a Jerry Jones,
Daniel Snyder,
Bob Kraft, Pat Dolan, one of those owners that are very influential in the NFL.
Okay, well, we did enough about referees. Let's go into my boys Will's team. I'm having an issue with this. I'm hearing stuff that people want Michael Vick to be benched. Your thought about this, man?
Well, the Eagles played very poorly. I watched the game, 27-6, no offensive touchdowns. The key is you have to take some pressure off of Michael Vick. Run the ball. You pay LeSean McCoy a S load of money. Run him. Get him the ball. Go back to running the screen plays. Wide receiver, running back screens. Let Vic make quicker decisions with the ball. Make routes 3 and 5 step drops. Stop going with 7 step drops. And also offensive line protect. Roll the guy out of the pocket a little bit more. That's the only thing that needs to be needed at this point. The defense is playing great.
They are playing good. Your defense is playing good, actually.
Nnamdi Asomugha, you really need to start earning your contract.
he does.
But other than that, we have some injuries on the offensive line. Jeremy Maclin was out.
You mean the wide receiver?
Jeremy Maclin was out. Yeah. So everybody in Philadelphia and around the world, cool out. Andy Reid will find a way to right the ship.
And like he always does, but the Cardinals, gotta give credit to the Cardinals.
Their defense is nasty.
It's mean. It's a mean defense. It's a very physical defense.
Yeah, Darnell Dockett, what's up?
Yeah. Also, Matt, Patrick Peterson may be one of the best cornerbacks already.
Yeah, he's starting to develop into. He looks like he'll be one of the star cornerbacks for many years to come.
Yeah, he does. He really does. But yeah, I don't think Vic deserves the blame in that. I mean, I won't say Vic deserves the blame. I'm with you in that game. Andy Reid. I mean, I respect Andy Reid. I'm one of the main people that think Andy Reid shouldn't be an ultimatum year for Andy Reid. Like, he deserves the respect enough to say, all right, well, if he doesn't do well this season, he should still be the coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's Andy Reid's a great coach to me. But I'll say this, Andy Reid, do something to help Vic out. Like Will said, LeSean McCoy is a top five running back. Like,
absolutely,
give him the touches. Like, give him the touches.
Give him the ball. Pound the rock.
You used to be an offensive line dude. Like, come on, man. Like, get the ball to your running back. If you do that, you know, give Vic that, you know, that calmness to help him out, get that confidence, and then he can run some play action, and that will buy him time in the pocket. Roll him out a couple times. Like, you need to protect him, because when he just stands there as a statue in the pocket, that is dangerous.
Yeah, like, Vic needs to use his legs.
Because that hit he took at the goal line when they were trying to score a touchdown with 5-7 seconds
Kerry
left.
Rhodes, yeah.
That was a dangerous hit. Yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a quick slant. He tried to find a play for a touchdown. It's dangerous, man. Hopefully, you know, things change.
The Eagles are right to ship this week against the Giants.
But do you don't believe the Eagles should bench Michael Vick?
Absolutely not. For what? What's your alternative, Nick Foles, rookie?
You know, they love him out there preseason.
Everyone loves the backup quarterback. The backup quarterback is the most popular guy in Philadelphia and in Washington.
Gus Frerotte, baby. That dude rocked, though. That was a good backup quarterback, though. You know what I'm saying?
You say so.
Brad Johnson, though, man. He wasn't backup. But Jeff George, he screwed us. side note, Kevin Call, man, was great for him, right? You had to feel good for him, though, right?
I didn't feel great for him.
It's Kevin Cobb, man.
I could give a damn. He's not an Eagle anymore.
I will say this. Kevin Cobb, I know you probably felt good after you beat the Eagles. Like, they carried you. They sent you away.
No one carried him. The guy got paid $12 million by the Eagles.
Hey, son. I'm trying to say.
He got paid $12 million by the Eagles, so he didn't get carried.
He felt good. You know what I mean? He got to beat his former team. It always feels good to beat your former team. You know what I mean? Like, when we used to play basketball, you know, out there in the summer, back in the day, and I would switch teams. I was on one team, I switched to the other, and I beat my former team. I felt good because I got to dominate and get revenge. You know what I mean? Revenge is good. You know what I mean? The sweet taste of revenge. You can't beat it, all right? I know people say you shouldn't want revenge in your heart. You should. It feels good once you get it.
If you say so.
It does, Will. Try it. It feels good.
I'll try.
Revenge is just excellent. So anyway, I spoke of the Cardinals. The Cardinals are one of two only undefeated teams.
The Falcons and the Houston Texans.
I'm sorry, it's three. I thought it was two. There's three. Yeah. Sorry, Texans are dominating. Good God, they're good. The three undefeated teams. Are they all legit? Or two to
Texans,
three?
Texans, yes, the Texans are legit. The Falcons, just because they've choked in the playoffs previously.
This is Ray's team. That's Ray's team.
Yeah, I just don't know. We don't know yet. The verdict is still – the jury's still out on them.
All right.
And
the Cardinals.
The Cardinals don't have a running game. Their defense is very aggressive.
Beanie Wells and –
Like
and,
I said, the Cardinals don't have a sustained running game as of yet. Watch. That defense is very physical and nasty.
They got receivers.
They have a receiver.
They got Michael Floyd, man. They got two receivers.
They have a proven receiver.
There goes better. I just wanted to hear that part.
And
early Doucette is okay, too, actually.
You say so. These are all opinions.
Yeah.
and Kevin Cobb is looking like he can manage the game.
Yeah, he's a manager. He's a manager.
So, you know, the Cardinals, they play out west with the 49ers. So it'll definitely be interesting when those two teams match up.
Yeah, I wasn't a believer in the Houston Texans, but I am now. That D is mean. What they did to the Broncos, even though, you know, Peyton had his opportunities and whatever, but what they did to the Broncos was impressive. Atlanta, they impressed me. I won't lie to you. Matt Ryan looks like he's about to get on Manning level. And I mean Peyton Manning level. He's like, this no huddle system fits him perfectly. But I'm like you. I'm a believer in Matt Ryan now, but what I'm not a believer of is that secondary when the season goes on. I think that secondary will have problems. But they look like they're definitely gonna win the South. They're gonna win the NFC South. The Cardinals, that's gonna be an interesting situation when they play the 49ers. I think we'll all get a good indication where they're at. And you agree?
Yeah, I definitely
agree. I think when they play
the
Niners, I think we'll know where they're at. But right now, I like what they've done. They beat the Patriots at home. Like, you can't say that. Like, they beat the Patriots at home.
Yeah, very few teams could actually say that. So.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So it is what it is, and I gotta look down this. All right, I already did this already. All right, it's time for our picks, Will.
Okay.
All right, time for our picks. I'm gonna give a brief little rundown. So we haven't done it. We didn't do it last week because we didn't have our show last week, but the week before last,
We just give out the records.
We got the records. You want to do all that? You're right. Will, you're 7-1. Ray's 4-4, and I'm 5-3. So I'm second. It's great to be second.
But I'm head and shoulders above everyone else.
You only 2 games. You only got 2 games ahead of me, so I don't get all the hypeness.
Okay. Well,
you're like your 2 games. You're not like your first place for real.
Okay.
All right. So stop this gyration.
I'm 7-1, but I'm not in first place. Okay.
Okay, you're first place.
Thank you for admitting that.
You're first place, which is just 7-1. Anyway, okay. Let me go over this week's games. We're picking from the Niners, Jets, Giants, Eagles, Saints, Packers, and Bears, Cowboys. I'm going to let Ray go first because, Ray's not here. Ray picked the Jets in game one. Will?
I'm going with the Niners.
Me and Will going with the Niners. That's on record. The Giants versus the Eagles. Ray has the Giants.
Do you even have to question?
All right, me and Will have the Eagles. Saints versus Packers. Ray has the Saints.
I have the Packers.
I also have the Packers. And Bears versus Cowboys. Ooh, Saints 0-5. I mean, 0-4.
Yep, 0-4.
I know it's going to be terrible. Bears versus Cowboys.
This is a tough one, but I'm going with the Bears.
It's a tough one, too. I'm going to go with the Bears, and Ray's going with the Bears as well. I'm not a believer in Jay Cutler, but I think they'll find a way to win. Also, speaking of Jets, sorry, I didn't even mention it. Revis out for the whole season.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough one.
Think they still make the playoffs?
No.
I don't think so either. Revis is essential to the defense. All right, fantasy football. Will T, do you want to go first? Who would you start this week? I'm sorry.
Who would I start this week?
Yeah.
Matt Ryan, the guy's on fire.
Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan, he's on fire. This whole season. I'm going
who the hell
Matt
is Matt
Ryan
playing?
That's not important right now. But I would continue to ride.
No, he's playing. I'll tell you. He's playing Cam. He's playing Killer Cam.
Playing Cam. Yeah, exactly. That's why I picked him. Matt Ryan is on fire.
All right, I'm going to tell you mine. It's easy. We make everybody look good right now. Vincent Jackson, man. Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver. You ain't using him, you a damn fool. And then I'm going to throw you a nice one, too. Might want to get Mike Williams, too. One or the other. Both of them will have good nights. I mean, good days. Believe me. Better days, baby.
Oh, you gave him a bonus pick.
Because it don't matter. They make Redskins with all that Halle Berry stuff, dog. Make me feel good. You know what I'm saying? Hey, who should you sit?
I'm going with Sean Green, the running back for the Jets. Not only is he playing the 49ers defense this week, but his production has really been lackluster for the first 3 games this season. I think he's averaging like 3.3 yards per carry.
He's been overrated as a fantasy pick. He's been very overrated. I'm going to say sit Jay Cutler. The Cowboys secondary has improved. You got Carr and the young dude.
Claiborne
from LSU. I think Jay Cutler's going to throw a couple picks, man. Really, I don't think he's a good move. And even though he has Brandon Marshall, I see negative something. I mean negative, but I see a low number, maybe like 9 points for a quarterback. Sleepers, Will T.
I'm going to go with Kyle Rudolph, tight end for the Minnesota Vikings.
He's been balling, right?
Yeah, he's been balling, man. He even though the Vikings don't throw the ball a lot, he's had the most targets through the first 3 weeks out of all the Vikings wide receivers, and he's actually one of the top. I think he's top 10 tight end in our league.
Is it? Would you have him on your fantasy team?
I have him on one of my fantasy teams.
I could tell. You said that so confidently.
Absolutely.
He's been targeted the most and this, that, and other.
Man, I told you.
You have to have him, man. You have to have him. I was like, no, I'm going to choose, man.
Who are you going
to
go
with? He's been getting out the last couple of weeks, man. Golden Tate. I'm going to go Golden Tate, man. Golden Tate's been frying. He's been on the low. He's been doing his thing. He's actually, to me, emerged as Russell Wilson's main target. They have Sidney Rice, but I like Golden Tate. He's kind of he's coming to form where they thought he would be when they drafted him out of Notre Dame. But that's about it. It's time for another commercial break. When we get back, quick question. Should the Michigan Wolverines change Denard Robinson's position?
And can West Virginia win it all?
Irvis Forte.
For ages.
On Eyes Radio.
You dig?
See you.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Hi, I'm Sonny Jurgensen, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network. Should players be paid?
We have this Urban Sports Team on Eyes Radio back at it again. You talked about West Virginia. Will mentioned him at the end, you know. Good play, good wordplay, Will.
No problem.
All right, West Virginia continues to impress, to be honest with you. Last week, they beat a game Terps team. Do you think West Virginia could possibly be in the BCS title game?
No.
Why
I just don't. I don't think the way this team is built that they can run the table in the Big 12.
Who's their biggest challenge to you? Texas and Oklahoma?
Texas.
And Oklahoma?
Yeah, Texas and Oklahoma, but Texas specifically.
Okay.
I just don't see the Oklahoma team. They just aren't consistent. Well, there's not a consistent
team. You don't like Landry Jones?
I like Landry Jones, but, you know, just like when they came out and they laid a dud against Kansas State. You know, this team, Oklahoma team isn't very consistent. But, no, I don't think that West Virginia will make it to the BCS title game. I already told you who will win the national championship this year.
You said FSU, right?
Absolutely.
Thought so. I'm going to disagree with you. I think West Virginia poses a problem for Big 12 teams. Offensively, what they can do poses a problem. How Geno Smith is playing at a Heisman level, honestly, he's a pro prospect, to be totally honest with you. What he can do as a mobile quarterback and what he can do in the spread, he is that kind of quarterback to me that poses big issues. And then you got Austin, too, the wide receiver. They pose issues for a Big 12 defense. Now, what can they stop a Big 12 offense, West Virginia? That's a question. But I think offensively,
that's a great question.
That's a question. But I think offensively, they can hang with any Big 12 team, to be totally honest with you. And I don't see a lot. And a lot of times, when we look at Big 12 defenses, we think they're overrated anyway.
Don't hear any arguments here.
You know, so I think they have an opportunity. But it'll be a good thing to say. I did pick Geno Smith to be Heisman, though. That was my prediction.
It's looking like a very good prediction.
Yeah, thank you. Salute to you, Waliola. Salute.
Wow.
you mentioned Florida State. Let's get in that. Florida State, I like that one. They beat Clemson. That team, this looks like the best Florida State team in years.
It does. It looks from offensive and defensive perspective, both sides of the ball. They have a lot of speed on offense and a lot of depth on offense. Defensively, the front four gets to after the quarterback stops the run. Like I said, I told you, I think there's only one team in the nation that could beat Alabama. Well, there's two possibly. LSU, depending on how they play.
Exactly.
And this Florida State team.
And watch. You'll see Geno Smith, too, at the same time. I'm telling you, the boy dangerous. But let's move on. We mentioned earlier Michigan. They failed against Notre Dame. Let me go to Notre
Dame's undefeated, right?
Yeah, undefeated.
Four undefeated. So far.
Before I get into Michigan, with the question we posed before the break, is Notre Dame for real?
Well, the question we posed was actually, is it time to switch Denard Robinson?
No, I know. So I'm going to the other one. Though. I said before I get to that.
No, I didn't hear before.
Yeah, sexy. You don't listen to me. I said before I get to the question.
I didn't think that was the game plan, though.
You know what I mean? I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I said, that's how we work. That's Lee Micah.
Okay,
this
man.
Is what we
All
do.
Right, man. All right. Well, I'll go into it. do I think Notre Dame is for real? Not really.
Yeah,
but if this team continues to, let's just say for hypothetical, I don't like to really deal with hypotheticals, but I'll deal with hypotheticals for now. Let's say this team goes undefeated. There will be such a huge outcry and uproar for this team to play in the BCS championship game.
That suck.
It will be ridiculous.
It would be very ridiculous.
My biggest wish and hope is that Notre Dame loses a game. Mm-hmm. I hope they don't go undefeated. Because everyone will be crying for them to play in the national championship, and they don't deserve it.
No, I agree with you. Notre Dame is I don't think they're legit. I mean, who they beat? They beat Michigan. And they beat Michigan State. And the Big Ten isn't the strongest conference in the world.
No, it isn't.
And you know, and they blew out with Navy. Is that impressive?
Notre Dame is going to have to, I mean, the next, I guess the next real competitive team they're probably going to play is probably USC.
Yeah, USC.
So, I mean, like, Notre Dame isn't legit. They have quarterback issues. And, I mean, Kelly's still trying to find a quarterback, keeps switching quarterbacks here and there. So you can't be real unless you have that quarterback to lead the charge. And obviously he's not comfortable with picking his quarterback. But I agree with you, Will. If they do luck around and are undefeated, you will get talk out there. Should Notre Dame, you know, be in a national championship game? That would be a good discussion later too on Apple G's or something. We can talk about if Notre Dame goes undefeated, should they be in a national championship game? Because it's money talks and BS walks, and Notre Dame has a lot of money.
And a seat at the table.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, like the question that Will was referring to, Denard Robinson struggles again and against Notre Dame. Should the Wolverines just right now move him to wide receiver?
I don't know if I'm not that familiar with Michigan's team. I'm not sure if you have a guy behind him who can is the guy of the future.
We have a recruit that is supposed to be the guy for him. I'm just saying, like, you can move, to me, in my opinion, be honest with you, you can move Denard, you can move Gardner.
I believe I have seen him.
Yeah,
play.
You see him play, but he's playing wide receiver right now. They make him play wide receiver. But you can move him. But he's not the recruit they have, but you can move him to wide receiver. The only reason why I say move Denard Robinson to wide receiver is because this is last year in college football. I believe he's a senior. He's not gonna be a quarterback in the NFL. So you're doing a big disservice. We're not gonna win a national championship. We lost two games already. You gonna do him a big disservice by having him play quarterback when he can't play that. He doesn't play that position effectively enough. Let's just be real. He's not an accurate quarterback. His technique is horrible. He consistently turns the ball over. Why not? I know he's a dynamic runner. Why not take advantage of that as a wide receiver, the slot gimmick style? Use to make him a starter. Make him a prolific offensive weapon in a different way, because he's not a quarterback.
Yeah, I think a lot of just about everyone who's seen him play knows that. Even though he had that one impressive throw against Alabama, like 70 yards.
He has an arm. He does have an arm.
He had an arm. He does have an arm. But for Michigan to be successful, they're going to need a guy who's more of a classic drop back quarterback.
I agree.
Denard Robinson isn't that. He's an athlete. He's a guy you can put in open space, make plays with his legs, make some plays with his arm. So I do agree with you. They do need to experiment with him, put him in different positions to make him most successful, because he looks like he has the talent to play at the next level, but just not as a quarterback.
Totally agree with you. And that would be something you all can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene on Twitter. We have to wrap it up. Show's been good and long, but make sure also you check us out on the Eyes Radio Network, which is www.eyesradio.com. To listen to the show on our official website, just visit www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. It's been a good show.
It has been a good show. Good show.
Finally, you know, when we came back, we have a show.
We came back.
Big Crit set it down. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's me. You know how it is.
Yeah, so, you know, we should be back in the saddle, you know.
Next couple of weeks. Ball's coming near you. I'm going to get one down. Watch. What I will write, I don't know. When I write, I don't know.
Just build up the anticipation, man.
Yeah, exactly. And also on our website.
I think our blog is more anticipated than iPhone 5.
I think so. Stay in line. Sleep on it.
Exactly.
Sleep on it. Also, we got picks from what's the name of the site? Check the website. I have to actually find a link. But we do picks. Check our website, walio.podbean.com. We're on a picks website. Matter of fact, we all submit some picks for the NFL.
7-1, baby. You know where the money's going.
All right. Well, when Will makes the pick, I'll let you know when he does the picks. But I've done the last last couple weeks, and I haven't done that well anyway. But still, I've been doing the picks. What's the name of the site? Yeah, I can't think of it.
We'll come back after. Yeah, we'll come back next. Yeah. We'll just put it in.
No, not at all. I'm not gonna do that at all. It's not that serious to me. Well, fine. After next week, I'll have the official website. Anyway, we'll holler at y'all later, man.
Deuces.
bitches.